Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are doing Matt Quinn's vote for a romantic movie, and we are doing Legend. Now, if you have not seen Legend, well, actually this is one I kind of would recommend. It's like a very strange what's it. but it is Tom Cruise, it is Scott, Ridley Scott. And it's like a high fantasy. It also has like the most terrifying Tim Curry has ever been. And it's just, it's very strange. Remarkable, but strange. So, anyway. Enjoy. So thanks for doing all you do. Hope you enjoy these romantic movies. And thanks. Bye, everyone.
On Myopia Movies, this week we are doing 1985's Legend, starring Tim Curry, Tom Cruise. Tangerine Dream, directed by Alien's own Ridley Scott. And this is Matt's choice for his romance movie of February.
That's true.
We did 1985's Legend, and I am your host with the most, Riff Ron Cineprov, Nick Hoffman. And we have
Kieko.
Alex. Author Matthew W. Quinn. I need to make a meme. You know, Reverb Satan isn't real. He can't get into your pants. That next pitch slide over is Tim Curry's Darkness.
That's going to be our theme for tonight.
Yeah, this is like this weird smoke show. Where I mean, and again, I don't think Tom Cruise, as far as our A-listers, is particularly like the hottest guy, but he looks like a Chudman in this. And if you look closely, his front two teeth aren't in alignment, so there's one tooth right under his nose, and it distracts me the entire time, like he's going to chomp me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, before he got rich enough to fix his teeth.
No, before Scientology cured his teeth.
The thetans?
Meanwhile, Tim Curry here, this is a smoke show, man. Like, and Mia Sara, her in that goth dress, holy hell. Like, this movie goes from being like sci-fi nonsense to like a smoke show for the last 20 minutes. It's weird. There's a lot of emotional roller coaster in this movie.
A lot of strange sudden shifts in tone and visually. Yes.
Yeah. It goes from being an incredibly boring movie to quite dramatic. So if you have not seen this movie, I would categorize it with Labyrinth, with Dark Crystal, with The Last Unicorn, with The Neverending Story, with even the kind of fantasy parts of Masters of the Universe, right? The costuming looks that way. It's just a swords and sandals, magic. Perhaps there's Tom Cruise is named Jack. Perhaps Jack has magic. We're not sure at the beginning.
Well, he's got magic flips.
Oh my God, he does flips and shit. And then we show up with erotic Satan, and then that's it. And again, the weird part is the pedigree of this movie. The fact that we have some huge actors and a huge director making a huge flop. This movie was badly reviewed at the time and lost a lot of money, but then became a cult classic. And that's why we're talking about it here. And for those of you interested, I will stop talking in a second, I promise. We riffed it on Cineprop, and if you're interested in purchasing it, is when we were in our COVID lockdown, so it's available through our Patreon, or contact us and we will send you a copy. Who wants to give us a plot synopsis of Legend, if you can?
I mean, I could take a stab at it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So basically, girls suck and are the source of all like malice and bad things and darkness in the world, and boys are innocent. And that's pretty much it, right?
Even the innocence of girls is enough to cause horrible.
Everything a girl problems. Does is bad. So we have the main girl that we're introduced to, and we see that she's like a princess or something. Oh, I did want to say though, this movie does have like the little scrolly thing at the beginning, which like triggers my anxiety because I feel like I need to record all the things that they're telling me in this intro. I don't think any of that really matters.
No, I mean, God, this movie just goes on and on before anything happens.
Yeah, it was really like Star Wars style scrolling introduction. And I was like, okay, so we got, you know, and I don't even remember what the things were, but I was like trying to remember
kind
them.
Of a simple like universe origin story of the, you know, the world began and there was no light, and
oh, yeah,
and then the darkness was the king of darkness was banished. And the light was preserved in the unicorns, or in their horns, or maybe just basically in the unicorns. I was, you know, I think that's the basic.
Yes, yeah, light, the light and dark
could live.
And then, so we're introduced to this girl who is like a princess royalty something, and she likes hanging out at this poor lady's house. That she's like, you have a rich life, and the lady's like, yeah, whatever, like. Go back to your castle.
It's the second act of Cinderella. Like, she's like cast aside to these like handmaidens.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever.
And so then she runs to play to meet her friend Jack, who is extremely innocent. Even though, guess what? The very first thing Jack does with her is in this movie.
Lays a bone down in the woods.
He lays her down in the woods for I don't know what. It fades to black. But is he very innocent? I don't know.
Get that shit
wet. He's pure of heart.
Okay, and then...
Presumably.
This means he looks at her and goes, boobs, and just starts poking her. I mean, no, like, it is very strange because, and again, this is where Tom Cruise is. Sorry, you give the plot synopsis, we'll go through it. But everything about this movie seems like it was a bad idea, and a producer should have said, hey, Ridley, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, this is so strange.
Yeah, it's just weird. This movie... is weird, and it makes you feel weird. It makes you feel like you're missing something that
it's off-putting. It's very off-putting most of the time. I would say that.
Yeah,
I do have to say though that every single scene is beautiful. Like every shot, every angle, it's like every single one is just pretty. Like it could be a painting. So there is that. That could be said in its favor.
I will say, I agree. That's something that even when we were watching it last night, Candace was watching it with me, my kids were watching it with me, and we were talking about that. Like, if this was Italian with subtitles, you would just assume that the script was just poorly translated because it looks incredible. You'd be like, oh, this is amazing. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, it looks good. It just has absolutely terrible dialogue.
Like, is that the problem, though?
Well, I mean, how many times is Jack or Lily say, well, you meant no harm? Yeah, you're not evil. Okay, we get that. You still caused an apocalypse of being an idiot.
Women are the worst.
Shouldn't have brought your girlfriend to see the unicorns because girls mess everything up.
He was trying so hard to get laid in this. He's like, I'll show you the unicorn. And it just goes tits up, like, immediately.
Fairy gnome boy Gump is not happy about that. Not
that
at all.
That thing scares the shit out of me. I don't know.
I got notes on Gump.
Jack!
This guy shows up like he's been smoking for 40 years and he looks like he looks like Elijah Wood in the other movie we were going to talk about. But he's just like this puckish little child. He's like, what's that?
I think there was some sort of
fucked it up, Jack.
I think there was some kind of dubbing situation. Like he was, they.
Yes, but everyone's dubbed in this. They record no diegetic dialogue in this. It's all recorded later. That's why she always sounds like she's in a Victoria's Secret commercial.
She always sounds British.
She sure does.
The accent is a little off here and there. It's a little here and there.
Yeah, I love you trying to be so kind.
I think when she went Mia Sara.
Can we just call her Ferris Bueller's girlfriend?
Please. We can.
The year before.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I mean, because
the year before, right?
Yeah. So. No, that is.
Lily.
Was this kind of her big shot? I mean, like a big sort of next.
It'd be really sad if it was.
Well, but like, look at it on paper, though. You go from. You know, a John Hughes picture, big guy, big movie, to a Ridley Scott movie. It's a good transfer. They just didn't realize he was going from sci-fi to nonsense. That slash between sci-fi and fantasy needs to be a brick wall. Let's be honest.
Well, it's not like darkness rolls up in a spaceship.
No, but Ridley Scott directed Alien. Mm-hmm. He is a sci-fi guy. This fantasy, ooh, this is rough. But it's well directed, although people are is hurling these doves. In every shot, there's a dove flying across the screen.
So was John Woo a production assistant?
He must have been. Or at least, what's his name? Ridley watched a bunch of John Woo before he directed this, because everything dramatic is set up by a bird being flung across the screen by PA, which is just phenomenal.
John, put the bird down.
I did actually attempt to look up the animal welfare, because, you know, there are horses that are like heavily focused on in the movie, but I couldn't find anything, so I don't know.
I wonder if they didn't film this in a country where things didn't have to be reported, because it's really, because they're like, we see these wide horses that have things glued to them. They're not happy about any of that. They seem very uncomfortable with what is happening to them. But it turns out that you can do that in Serbia or wherever this was filmed. I'm actually looking that up now. Connections, edited into the Nostalgia Critics episode of A Tale of Two Kitties, which tells you there's nothing to say about this movie.
A Tale of Two Kitties, the Garfield movie?
Yes, but it's referencing a Nostalgia Critic episode on YouTube. That's their number one reference? We're in trouble, guys. We've chosen a...
Let's waterboard darkness and lasagna. Oh, wait, they do bake someone a pie.
Well, they try to. Which is that's another scene that happens. And that's all I could say about it. I was so baffled by that point. It was like I was taking notes and I look up, I'm like, there's someone in that pie. And they're cutting them free.
Yeah, I don't think I knew who it was or ever figured out who
I think it was Blunder.
It was another guy who was like in the dungeon told them they were all going to be barbecue.
Yeah.
Instead, he was baking.
He wasn't barbecue. Yeah.
That's under the goof section of IMDb. That was just, just a classic goof.
He said barbecue, but actually, it was a pie.
He was baked. That's Matt's evil laugh.
Should I try and do a darkness voice the entire podcast?
But you still have to do it Faye, like Tim Curry.
Heavily modulated and run through all sorts of effects. And you can still kind of tell it's Tim Curry.
You can tell.
Mm-hmm. I had to look. If I hadn't looked up the cast, I'm not sure I would have immediately said Tim Curry. But yeah, I mean, oh, that suit. Yeah, the glowing eyes. Oh,
5.5 hours to get in the makeup for that thing.
I mean, I believe it, because that, again, something I'll give the movie. That's something else that looks incredible. Whoever was the costume and makeup designers on this, they deserved the Oscar.
They were nominated.
But like, holy hell, his outfit and like the way they did his makeup and his cheekbones and those horns screwed into his skull, it looked incredible. And ding, 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 by the by, those scenes that have the nice brick facades, that was Agnes Scott in Atlanta where they filmed that.
No way.
Yeah. Most of it, though, is filmed on a soundstage, the Alfred R. Broccoli 007 stage, in fact, at Pinewood in the UK. They don't care about animals there. They probably just turn those horses directly into pies.
And I think at one point all the set burned down.
Yes, I did hear that.
They lost all the horses.
Wow. Pinewood Studios did burn down around this time, I believe, which is one of those things. Just one of those things. That's why they kicked old Rid out of the country for a bit. And that's why he had to make Gladiator in Italy.
But I did save the horses, my lady. Does that please you?
I mean,
is Reverb Satan working?
We're gonna edit it later.
Okay. Woo! All right, so the movie opens on what I can only imagine is an algae commercial, because there's flowers exploding everywhere and there's like little dust
and speckles in the air.
And she's in a wedding dress because she's, I guess, the princess, and that's what they just wear.
Yeah.
Princesses be like.
Princess be imposing on the peasants.
I mean, it's. There are exactly 5 people in this other than. We'll get to the Pannish elves here. And like 3 of them are in the employ of the princess. It's really something. But whatever. So her matronly mother's like, oh, yes, you're to be married, right? She's to be married, as one does. And I mean, You guys are going to have to help me because I know you gave us a good synopsis, but this movie is nonsense.
Well, yeah. So I guess where we sort of left off was she went to find Jack. Who knows what they did? I don't know. I'm sure it was all very innocent.
They bone.
Maybe. It faded to black, though. And then he decides he wants to show her the source of all light in the world.
You gotta get laid one time.
He
already got laid. I mean, he didn't have to do the
unicorn. But he didn't. I don't know if he told her that until she was like right up there to the unicorn.
He messed up.
Oh, and then also in the meantime, I guess Tim Curry has decided. Wait, is this the point where he's decided that he's dispatched his goblins
and people,
the unicorn and the like.
And if I recall too, it's because he's awakened to the fact that there's one more unicorn left. He wants to wipe out the unicorns for reasons.
Because he wants to turn the whole world to darkness so he can go outside.
Well, but like,
just wants to go
unicorns
outside.
Unicorns make the sunrise. I guess no. I mean,
as long as they're living, the sun
they represent
will rise.
The goodness in the world,
and they
right?
store the light or something. The light is in their horns, maybe.
Before we end up at a great fairy fountain in like Legend of Zelda, where there's like this frozen pond that's like glowing and bubbling. I'm like, okay, he's about to get some magics. Like, and again. I've seen this movie now twice in the last year, and I'm not going to say drinking wasn't involved, but like the plot is so it's both way too much and also way too little mm-hmm. because they give us an hour of like exposition at the beginning, and then he's just plodding along like a dipshit following her because she's been kidnapped. It's a woman in the fridge situation. Until Tim Curry decides to turn her into like a goth porno mag. And we'll get
there. He says, I guess he talks to his father, to his dad, Darkness, who is this like evil cloud. But is he a cloud though?
I thought Darkness's father was some sort of presence in the throne.
Well, wait, who's the guy wearing the hoodie? With the hood up that's talking evil. That's Tim Curry as evil, right?
Oh.
Because there is someone
who is... I thought
that
was him talking to his dad.
There's somebody who's whispering like, ooh.
Yeah.
As opposed to Reverb Satan who is asking daddy for advice.
Yeah, you ask your dad for girl advice. And, you know, he said, woo her.
Father, help me get into this mortal woman's pants.
And then I said, woo, woo, woo,
and
I'm wooing you.
So, yeah, I may not have understood that fully then.
No, I mean.
He has a relationship with his dad and his voice comes out of somewhere and he's sort of having a conversation and getting directed. Is that
he's like, dad, I like her. What do I do? And the dad, he's like, yeah, sure.
Make her one of us.
Yeah.
I think,
go get her.
Said.
Go get her, son. And you have
to turn her spirit dark.
So then when the girl tries to touch the unicorn, she like distracts it or something, and the goblins shoot it with like a dart, and then it falls down. And then I don't know if it's then that they're able to...
They go get that horn.
They remove the unicorn's horn, and they're excited about it because they have the source of light.
I mean, it just becomes like a kid in Hogwarts season one. Like, he's like, pew, fire, pew, lightning, pew, ice. Also, I'm trying to follow along with you and whatever the fuck's going on in this movie. So Jack is short for Jack in the Green, which, quote, Jack o' the Green is an English folk custom associated with May Day. It involves a pyramidal or conical wooden frame decorated like foliage, worn by a person as part of a procession, often accompanied by musicians. So on May Day, there's just some frolicking shrubman that musicians are following, and that's what Jack is named for in this movie. And you just realize, oh, there's not enough drugs. Like, I will never understand what Ridley Scott did to come up with this, but there was
some drugs.
This is a lot going on.
This is an acid trip.
Okay, just answer my question, because it doesn't seem like a... all the cocaine movie.
No. This is an acid movie,
absolutely.
And a lot of downers, which is why for some reason people slow down, but their voices don't. And it's very unsettling as they're moving in slow motion, and Tom Cruise, who's the only one not hiding his American accent, sounds just like, what's going on here? And you're just like, stop! Your brain will break if you watch this enough, because nothing makes sense.
And showing signs of 30 years later jumping on the couch.
Well, this is when he's still a Catholic, and he was very confused about himself, because I'm pretty sure who was he married to first? Michelle Pfeiffer?
It was Minnie Driver, and she converted him to Scientology.
Briefly, I think she's back. But
oh, now's the time to come back. Yeah, you got to get back in now to Scientology.
Remember what I was like back in the day before Miss Scavenger's wife fell off the boat? you know, like vintage Scientology. God help me. Scientologists are awful. Well, the thing you got sucked into. I'm sorry.
Scientology?
You have to apologize or else the Thetans are going to eat your head.
No. I mean, the people, I think the state that listens to us most is California. So I guess we'll see if the numbers go up or down. meanwhile, through the Herbal Essences commercial, a unicorn appears. and she's like, you gotta touch it. Which,
and he's like, no, don't touch it because it's the source of all light and it's forbidden to touch it.
Not very assertive.
But he could have stopped. Yes, could have stopped her.
He could have stopped her. And B, she just wanted to see something that was actually turgid and pointy. Because unfortunately, he had been very disappointing, which is like why he was like, I'm just showing you the unicorns.
I think what Nick is trying to point out is this weird sense of like desire and repression and... Like, this whole movie is just, like, if I'm using this term correctly, thirsty.
Everything about... Because even when Tom Cruise is just looking at the unicorns, he's like...
It's... But all of it is.
That is his normal sort of face in this movie.
So,
mouth open.
He's supposed to be in awe.
Unibrow furrowed slightly.
Teeth askew.
Yeah. I mean, the first time you see him in the movie, he just comes in he just pounces into a full squat.
He's wearing a mini skirt. It's like George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
In a feral cosplay.
He's a lost boy. He's a little lost boy.
Let's just call this movie The Upskirting of Tom Cruise.
God help me. If you're watching that 4K cut, you see his taint. Like, he is not weird.
I got the SD, and I also watched it on my phone. So
you wanted it as blurry as possible.
There was nothing happening on that.
I mean, I consider it a lost opportunity. So we're at the unicorn, and he's like... And she's like, no, I'm going to touch the unicorn.
He's like, oh, maybe don't. And then she's like,
something that actually resembles magic in this movie. And we should emphasize here, she's wearing either Maid Marian cosplay or like someone who got married at a Ren Fest. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it just gets, I guess, to the production designer's credit, it gets more and more tattered as it goes on. Like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman suit, where every time it gets cut, it's just stapled back together. The tatters are consistent here, which is really cool because we get a transition into the goth version and they keep the tattering. Like, this was a movie where they hired a guy with a wind machine because everything is fluttering in the breeze and it's kind of cool. I will not say that I was not impressed by his haircut, because he has it parted in the middle and it comes through his face, so it's like practically embezzled, like being chewed on by those huge horse teeth. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that there's always stuff going on. It's beautiful. They thought to add wind and a feel to every place. Oh. Yeah.
There's always something shimmering somewhere, or blades of grass.
The bushes actors moving. Even had glitter on them.
It was very glittery.
Like on their body. Body glitter.
Oh my.
Just all over both of them. What was going on? What were they doing after it faded to black?
Oh, God help me. And then she destroys the universe. She turns out that she was not fully responsible because the goblins, at least in my version, I watched we should mention there's two versions. There's the theatrical version. The theatrical version is right at 90 on the nose, right? And has got a Tangerine Dream score,
That's not, what I saw.
Yeah, me
not,
too.
Not their best version, not their best score, but still, it's Tangerine Dream. What are you going to do? It's fantastic. And then there was a director's cut version, which is the one I saw. Director's cut is like 10 minutes longer. It's like an hour.
No. Probably explains everything perfectly, and the movie just made total sense.
Jack is more of a hero in it. There's more scenes where he's saving the day, which apparently when it came out, no one saw this, but it got a second release after Top Gun came out, because now Tom Cruise is a huge star. And he told people the director's choice was the better copy. He does more in it. But it tastes more like a Ridley Scott movie. There's more intent. Because again, he did Alien. So what he's really good is the sneaking up, the shot where you establish what's about to happen. You know, there's a lot of dramatic irony in Ridley Scott, which is even in Gladiator. Like that's what he does very well. And so you see more of people like shadows moving and stuff. It's a better movie. I wish it had the same score. But apparently the Tangerine Dream score was made by the producers who wouldn't release it. So Jerry Goldsmith comes in with a score that sounds like Gladiator. Like, it's very over the top, very symphonic, very Lords of the Ringsy, which comes out later. So in the versions that we're going through, if there's a difference between what I remember and what they remember, it's purely because of the movie and nothing else. Like me not paying attention fully or, you know, whatever. So she's touching the unicorn, and right as she's touching the unicorn, it gets hit with a blow dart, which is why it actually freaks out, but she blames herself. And then they, you know, run away, and this is where the unicorn gets like dismembered in a very graphic way as the guy cuts his her horn off.
No, maybe I'm thinking of Harry Potter.
What?
I remember loving this movie as a kid.
Oh, really?
Like, I remember that I loved this movie. Like, not quite as much as I love Labyrinth, but like up there. Mm-hmm. And rewatching it, I was like, why? Like,
is this
what?
One that I ruined? I hate when I ruin these, but yeah.
it's my first of, but I didn't really remember it. But I wanted to say that I thought I remembered a scene of someone over the unicorn, like gonna drink its blood. But I guess that was Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and that was like later. But that's kind of what I had tied together in my mind.
The unicorns look similar.
Remembering this movie,
might have had the horns in storage. Like, because it does, it looks very similar to the Harry Potter's, the way that the
universe right, like how they're portrayed.
So the scene I got, I don't know what you got, but like literally the goblins show up, and he has a scimitar, and you see him holding the horn and coming down. Okay, yeah, that's it's very graphic. It reminds me of Blackfin or something like that. Like, it's like, you know, it's like this scene where an animal's being dismembered.
Yeah.
And then pretty much the rest of the time, they just give the horse tranquilizers because it's just laying in a field looking real sad.
It's just
there's a production side to it too, which is where they're drugging a horse. I assume, I don't know.
They're like, no, horsey, you have to stay here until we're done shooting. 3 weeks.
It's just there, like, like I'm judging. Now that she's all horned up from touching the unicorn, horned up, the unicorn, see what I did there. She starts trying to make out with Tom Cruise because he's like, you do realize you've ruined the universe, right?
She's like, yeah, but I didn't mean to.
Whoopsie, I'm just a girl.
Hey, by the way, aren't you going to marry me? Except you can't marry me because I'm going to make a trial of who can marry me. So whoever gets this ring can marry me. And she chucks this ring of hers into
just a few feet over, like, you know, over like a waterfall.
Off a ravine, into some, you know, into water.
And Jack tries to get it, and you're like, and then the river freezes over.
Yeah, and it's also her fault because the source of everything bad in the world is girls.
And that's a bad contest. That doesn't make sense. That's silly. Don't throw the wedding ring in.
Actually, watch Gump get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
hey, princess.
Like, why would you say that to the guy you like? Unless she's like playing hard to get.
Did she have other suitors?
Like, was that a play?
Maybe she's trying to divide between two guys, and maybe if one dies, it makes it easier.
Do I want to marry the Lord of Darkness, or do I want to marry the Forest Boy?
I mean, I don't know. Forest Boy is the one who's like seems to actually be trying hard here. Like, we'll get there. I will also say, this is the first point where I was like, is this just like the guy who made Legend of Zelda's like favorite movie? Because like the idea that you would dive off of a thing to go swimming deep to rescue something is one of those stupid things you have to do in like every Zelda game. But then we'll get to the Great Fairy Fountain, and I was convinced that it was the guy.
Yeah, you know, you may be onto something too, because he also has a little fairy guy that says, "Hey, come here."
When Navi shows up, I lost my mind. Hey, listen.
Hey, come here, follow me.
Dude, and then it turns into like, I don't even know what. She looks like Drew Barrymore from Batman Forever. Like, it's just where she's sugar.
The little fairy, but did you?
We're talking about Una, like, the will-o-wisp.
Yeah, Una. I thought it was a child.
Yeah, but they give her like heroin chic makeup where like her eyes are sunken and she's like lost all of her features.
And she's like trying to pressure Jack into kissing her and whatever. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, that's a kid, right?
The fact that all the like the hill folk and like well, specifically the elves and the fairies look like children is a weird choice when this movie is this erotic. Like, it just, it's a lot. Like, truly.
I guess Una's supposed to be sprightly and
I thought that the person they had playing that person was a kid, and I was like, this is weird.
No, you're right. That you're right.
I don't know if it really
Unit
was.
Unit director Woody Allen.
Or Larry. Let me see. Larry, oh God, what's his name? The guy who made Kids. Ugh, can't watch that movie.
Oh, Harmony Korine?
No, it's a director.
Oh.
You know, Harmony Korine is in that movie. Kids is strange. But yeah, no, like all the hill folk are also played by kids. All the fairies are played by children. It is a strong choice. Anyway, so now that the woman has like the unicorn has lost her horn and it's her fault, it is now like Fargo, North Dakota. It's awful. It's snowy. It's cold. There's no sun.
The peasant family she's been, you know, imposing on is frozen into ice,
including the baby, which is just depicted by a rock.
I guess she was 18.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
Well, that's good. But yeah, so this
article refers to her as nubile.
Go ahead and click away from that article. it's a snowy blizzard world, and then Jack's just sort of following around.
Did it turn snowy because the unicorn died and that allowed some darkness to take over?
Half of the available unicorns died, and it got kind of snowy. Yeah.
So you don't
the sun still came up, but
you don't really need a lot of unicorns to fuel the light in the world if only two unicorns.
Apparently two.
We're maintaining all of the light in the whole world.
And there's a musical number, y'all. All is snow and all is ice. It's a goblin paradise.
Oh yeah. I do remember. I thought the goblins were funny. They were some good comedic relief.
They gave us something.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is so like dour, just like, oh, I will save the princess. Meanwhile, this goblin's making fart jokes. I'm like, hey, where have you been this whole time, buddy?
I thought the goblin slapstick was okay. I mean, they were going for the sort of charming. None of these characters or weird creatures had any sort of backstory or context. So, I mean, it's just kind of like they're just like in the world. And yeah, they're goofing around and joking around.
The main goblin guy, like the boss goblin who decides he was going to take the unicorn horn for himself, even though we don't know what that could do. We just thought that getting rid of the unicorns in the world would. So anyway, but he wants it, and then, you know, the boss shows up and...
Wait, I realize someone else who must have seen this movie is J.K. Rowling, right? Because wasn't it, like, to have a magic wand work, doesn't it have to have a piece of a unicorn in it?
The
wands have different stuff in them, but the unicorn horn seems to be a completely different thing.
Well, no, I thought one of them was, like, the fur of a unicorn or something.
Could be, but, like, I know, like, Harry Potter's was, like, a phoenix feather, so it's, like, different things.
Yeah, but, like, the idea that the horn is just, like, what magic
a source, are. A source, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's funny the way that I looked at it directly, and it was just like...
She probably remembered something drinking blood over unicorn, too, and decided to write a book. And make millions and millions of dollars.
That's what it does.
It's not what I did with it. Magical that you're just going to appear. It's like magic.
There you go.
Well, right. I am part of Darkness's crew, I guess, so.
Dude, I tell you what. He shows up, and he's not, like, greased. He's not covered in KY like the rest of them. They're all drippy. Everyone's
I noticed everybody was really wet in that whole movie.
I mean, this movie
except him. He was very matte, sparkly. Yeah.
Everyone, like, everyone's, this is the horniest movie we've done in a long time.
They also really needed some tweezers. Everybody there had a terrible unibrow. And then when she turned into, like, goth Lily, they, like, made it even more pronounced. I'm like, what's happening?
They did give her a blowout for her eyebrows.
When did Beetlejuice come out?
89.
This is 85. This
is
85. This was first?
No, yeah, this is before Beetlejuice, I think. I'm almost positive.
I think 89 or something.
Well, yeah, because I'm thinking this place still making Ed Wood and Edward Scissorhands out here. Anyway, one, two, three. Actually, whoever's editing this, you can keep in whatever we said that sounded important. So, as women do, they've ruined the universe. And she has made Eternal Winter. And at this point, we see, like, the boy toys. Gump and Dump and Rump and...
Would we be able to actually call him Forrest Gump? No, because that would be all of them.
So
Forrest Gump, Forrest Rump, Forrest Dump. Forrest Plump. I think I found out his first name is something Honey something or another. I don't know. He has an actual first name.
Probably Honey Gump. Pot,
because this movie is disgusting. Just kidding. It's not disgusting. It's a really pretty movie that will make you feel uncomfortable while you watch it. It was a fever dream of a movie. But yeah. As soon as it ended, I just kept thinking, okay, that was something I just watched. Okay, yeah.
I think inspired by drug trips, but I don't think I would necessarily recommend that someone already be on a trip and watch this movie at the same time, because that's too much. I think that's probably too much.
If you had never had LSD before and you took it before watching this movie, you're one of those cautionary tales.
Well, I enjoyed the movie.
You have a Sid Barrett experience.
I enjoyed the movie the way Henry Zebrowski would want me to. So just rolled up a hog's leg and went for it. And then
how was it?
It was great. I really enjoyed the movie. I did the same thing for another one too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. This movie though, like, I was rocking some gummy and a whiskey, and I just kind of lost track of time. Like, I'm so, because they're in the woods for so long. And nothing is, it's a goings on. And
did you come to in the woods, though?
Well, I came to, when the scene changed, then all of a sudden we enter a level from Doom, where it's like this dusty, rusted prison that they're in, and there's another guy, like, and you just, I don't know what happened. They fell through a pit and ended up in hell, and then they haven't even gotten to Tim.
I think they decided to arm up Tom Cruise to fight
evil, so said,
then there's a witch or something.
As you say things, it's coming back. It's because the unicorn mayor was able to, like, speak telepathically to him and tell him, like, there has to be one that goes and gets the alicorn, and until the alicorn is returned, nothing will be again.
And then they're all like, we need a hero.
In like 2 seconds, they just all look at Tom Cruise and like, it's clearly you, Jack. And he's like, what? I just have one front tooth.
Right. It's right in the middle of his fucking head.
And I do a lot of backflips in a mini skirt.
He was like a weird Peter Pan, but dirty. Yeah.
Pedophile Pan. They told me to stay away from my lost boys.
Now I'm just thinking of the IT crowd. File. Your name is File? Peter File? That's your name?
God help me. I mean, okay, so after meeting with, like, these tiny... We gotta talk about how terrifying Gump is. He is this big. He's dressed like Pan from a high school production of Midsummer Night's Dream, or Puck. And he talks like he's been smoking for 30 years, but he's a child. So he's just like, I'm so old.
Jack, we need a hero.
And he does this
monologue. Did you show her the unicorns?
And then
you had Gollum there.
And then Tom Cruise, like, bests him in a battle of wits, and he's like, "You're a good one, Jack. I'll follow you to die." And this movie is so all over the place, and Tom Cruise is just going to it with that one tooth.
I think I actually missed how Lily got kidnapped.
I think the point is her character is she's innocent, in a sense. She's not malicious. That doesn't mean she's very smart. So
she does is
she's
intentional.
She's like, she okay, I've caused this problem. I'm going to solve it myself. Which ends up her getting kidnapped.
Well,
I think.
The only intentional thing she did was deliberately disobey what Jack said and go to touch the unicorn.
Yeah,
and then she was like, "What's the big deal? Everything's fine." And then you know the world comes to an end.
Yeah,
we're not exclusive, and he's got a hard horn. but no, but we should also mention the way she's trying to save the day. Because she's running like she's in a Guns N' Roses video wearing a dress from a Renfest. So she's like, oh no, the wind! And like, there's snow. And she's like, oh, I'm falling in the snow. And she's barefoot the whole time. Like,
uh-oh, call Quentin Tarantino.
She's a princess who doesn't know how to go on a, you know, critical life-saving journey.
So she runs.
Wear shoes.
Yeah, so she runs to that, like, poor villager's house where she was rummaging it earlier, stealing food. Like, and I love when Nell shows up, she's just like, oh, princess. And it wasn't stated, but I feel like there was an undertone of,
get out.
You have lots of money and I don't. Like, why are you here eating my food and then trying to pass it off like you made it?
It's because, yeah, I mentioned this too. It's because she says, you have a rich life. And she's like, yeah. Like, thanks, princess.
Yeah, and Lily's just like, but I just want to be here where it's magical. And Nell's like, yeah, I wish I had running water. She's but like, that's great.
Yeah, go do it outside. Why don't you go find your forest boy?
So she runs back there when it's all frozen and tries to hide in the most obvious place, in the attic, which I don't know how they didn't think, let's look upstairs.
Never go upstairs. So that's how she got caught. That makes sense. Okay.
We should mention, too, this is also, well, first of all, the frozen baby in the crib is really so good.
That's too much.
This movie is very much okay. Well, let's move on.
Didn't react to the frozen
baby. Are
those
people like okay afterwards?
No idea.
Like, do they magically go back?
We never know.
Maybe like the unicorn, they just sort of pop right back up.
The unicorn lasted a long time.
Is it like the snap?
That's right. They just come back. It's Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. They're just corpsicles. I'm sorry.
Reverb Satan says you should have gone for the head.
But what I was going to say is, this is that comic relief we were talking about earlier, because they're just in the kitchen and they're just like, poo! And they're blowing stuff up. And she's in the attic like she's under heavy fire. I'm like, oh, the bubbles! And it's very intense for her.
Oh, fire bubbles. I forgot about the bubbles. There were a lot of bubbles.
He's like making the eggs pop around, and he's like, and she's like, oh, eggs! And like, because like, there's not really a ceiling. When the goblins look up, there's a ceiling, but where she's not, there's just ribs. And so there's like eggs flying around her. It's, again, kind of trippy and weird for this movie. And this is where they capture her, yes. And they bring her back to the demon. I'm just seeing, you know, where you are now. Because Tom Cruise has to fight like that lizard lady in the swamp.
Oh, yeah. Meg the swamp hag.
Yes, which if you're a fan of Star Trek, a Voyager, that's Robert Picardo, the doctor.
Oh, really?
Doctor. Yeah, he plays Meg Mucklebones.
Yeah.
As one does.
And it's a lady.
Yeah, she dude also looks like a lady. Yeah, yeah.
Lady looks like a...
That sounded like her.
That's how and, she made her then, entrance,
and
pretty much.
What did she call him? Like Juicy Jack or...
Oh, like, she called him fat at some point. And I was just thinking, like, what world is this that we're living in?
I don't know, but everyone's thirsty for scrappy
everybody
Tom Cruise.
Jack.
And she wants him too.
Jack this.
Everybody wants Jack. I had forgotten about that creepy lady. Yeah. Why did he go to see her?
Red swamp
he didn't intend to see her. They were trying to cross over. They were trying to like cross through that swamp, and they set her off somehow.
Oh, and then she popped
she,
up.
Oh, she tasted Brown Tom. I swear, that was his name. The guy's name is Brown Tom.
So I got this strain called Brown Tom.
What
I was going to say is, whoever wrote this had also just watched The Fellowship of the Ring when Gollum leads him through the thing and he gets pulled down into the ghost bath thing. That's exactly what this is.
There was a lot of throwbacks to a lot of different. I saw a lot of Lord of the Rings references, like Hobbit references. The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle.
Which came first, this or Labyrinth?
Okay, this is 85. I thought Labyrinth was later in the 80s.
Yeah, I think I thought Labyrinth was 86.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I don't know. I just like 86. To kind of reference those to kind of know like who stole from who. And
I think they were all just stealing from each other.
Yeah.
In one of my Twitter rants, I say this is Willow crossed with Labyrinth with worse dialogue.
Oh.
This is 3 years after Dark Crystal, just to place them all. I something must have been in the water in the late 80s. You know, Led Zeppelin had existed for a while, Pink Floyd. Because, like, all of those movies that are fantasy hybrid, that was the late 80s, right? Like, I guess probably triggered by the animated Rankin and Bass Lord of the Rings trilogy, which mm-hmm. was the 70s into the early 80s. Because that also has some trippy-ass goblins and a ring of power that falls into the water mm-hmm. that she dives after and then makes them, maybe they're going to be evil because this movie saw that, but with a lot more fast-making drugs. This movie is very fast and then slow. It's in slow motion a lot for no reason. And then they cue a whale because in the background, just you're...
I felt like I was at some weird 90s yoga studio the entire time I was watching this movie. Like, I just kept hearing, like, a Pure Moods record in the background. I didn't know. I'm like, hey, I was like, okay, is the whale sound, is that, like, part of the unicorn dialect? Because at the beginning of the movie, Lily asked Jack if he can speak unicorn, and I was hoping,
if you play the movie backwards, the whales say a message to you.
I can't lie, I was really waiting for Tom Cruise to go, and just really make it in a sexy way.
I didn't hear the whales.
What?
Dude, which version did you watch, man?
I watched the director's
cut. Okay, I
think some things are flying past me because I think maybe.
I know our endings are different.
Yeah. Our endings are different. But so throughout ours, whenever magic is happening, especially in slow motion,
whales.
Whale sound.
I don't remember the slow mo thing either. They were like, we got 10 more minutes. Let's slow it down a little.
The director's cut is, I believe you said, 9 minutes longer than the theatrical cut. And I think it's all just whale sounds added in there and then slow motion for no reason at all.
Yeah, it's Tom Cruise breathing through his mouth an awful lot. And then all of a sudden, he's like, and then a whale goes, and then he starts clicking like Flipper and...
Una sounds like Predator. She's the one that was clicking.
Una's clicking like she's the fucking Predator. And it's really just, oh man.
I feel like we've jumped around a lot. Maybe we need to go back to she's captured.
Yeah, people are real concerned about the plot of this movie.
I did want to mention that, and maybe you guys also appreciated this moment, right after he defeats the Meg.
Yeah.
The Meg. He's like, I did it. Like, in this really dope.
That was a director's cut. The director's cut, I think he fumbles with a sword a lot more.
He has a hard time wielding it.
In this, he just like immediately slays the beast and he's like, I did it.
Yeah, no, he falls down on his sword as one does, like Belvedere sitting down. But he can't pull the sword out. He tries to hold it up with one arm and drops it immediately into the water. He goes back in and tries it. The metaphors about his sexual inadequacy throughout this have been a lot. The podcast specifically, so I'm going to leave this one on.
Oh. I appreciated just how exuberant he was for his first murder. Like, there we go. Maybe this is what in my mind, Jack went on to be in born on the 4th of July. That's him. Was his name Jack?
Yes. Sure.
The Green Man. So.
Yeah, universe. Let's go with it.
Okay, so...
I don't know. Where are we, Nick?
No, I was going to say, I think we were wrong. She gets away from the attic. She gets captured later. Remember she meets the little guy who uses a frying pan to fight off the arrows?
Yes.
But you don't have the scene.
Yeah, that was... I remember that.
I was there for this.
Is this where one of the guys gets shot in the head?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So...
I believe that was Brown Tom. I swear to God, it's his name.
Everybody,
we get a little taste of Brown Tom.
Yeah,
he looks like a Radagast the Brown from The Hobbit, right?
Yes, very much so.
And if you have seen Master of the Universe, he looks like the troll guy. No one's seen that. Okay, it's a movie. It's He-Man running around in a leotard. And it's a wrestler. Yeah, that's a very strange film. It's also Courtney Cox's first on-screen performance.
I bet it was great then. She's just gotten better with age.
Yeah,
just girl. Yeah.
Sure. Hey, how you doing? Anyway, so yes, it's that scene. It's the scene where at the end of it, the
guy and then been... so then he's like, he thinks he's been killed because I guess he has a small brain because it's also established in their anatomy.
He has like a plate, right?
He has a thing of wine on top of his head,
which we take shots of at the campfire.
Yeah. And he was shot in the head, right?
He was, and it broke the flask.
I thought they were saying that they had some kind of weird. It was like they broke their brain flap.
Because if like, I don't know that,
why we didn't know that these little elves have brain flaps. But...
And then Richard Attenborough shows up and goes, whatever. The troll's brain flap is a form of defense.
And here we have
the troll flap. Oh, gross.
Oh,
look how that's a magazine I unsubscribed from. It was an accident.
Troll flaps.
Troll flap.
don't Google that, I bet. I'm just going to put that out there. It's probably not safe for work.
Oh, God, help me. At this point, Tom Cruise.
Tom Hanks showed up.
This may as well have.
You know what? I would not. I would have been like, oh, okay. So I mean, Tom Cruise is here now.
We have had some great cameos. Barf was here from Spaceballs.
That's right. Well, I mean, Tom Cruise, though, this would be what? The Bachelor Party era or the suburb? Like, so he's just like, wow! Like, this is frazzled. Tom Hanks shows up as the buddy.
Oh, okay.
Tom and Tom.
I'm with you.
The classic pairing of, like, Corey and Corey. It's Tom and Tom.
Yeah.
The Tom and Toms.
This is Tom and Tim.
Tim and Tom.
That's right.
That's why they didn't work together again. It's not as alliterative. Anyway, somewhere around here, this is where he gets his armor, right? This is where we end up in the graveyard. And then we start having weeping angels everywhere.
Don't blink.
Giant angel statues that are like covered up in the swamp. It's very strange. And in our version, this is halfway through the movie.
I don't know that we had that in our version.
It's interesting that you admitted to gummies earlier. I admitted to a hog's leg, and now everyone's going to think that we were just on some kind of high trip together.
Okay, when she comes out of the water, that angel thing in the background.
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be like the darkness's dad or something.
Would not have noticed.
Because he kept saying father and like talking to it and the eyes kept glowing.
Right. I mean, and you may well be right, but it looks like the weeping angels, like the way that it's out.
It also reminded me of those, the sphinxes in The Neverending Story. Remember the ones that were pointing at each other?
Oh, yeah.
I got a lot of those vibes.
Or if you want to get Disney, it's Chernabog from the Hall of the Mountain King.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like. Anyway.
I just didn't pay attention to that then.
Well, again, your version is a tight 90. Ours is a little longer. I felt like they could have cut this scene where he goes on the side quest and fights the Green Goblin. But if it's in your 90-minute version in full, this script must have had no pages. Like, because so much of it is
there is not a lot
said. It's incredibly thin. It's incredibly thin.
And what's there is not very good.
At the beginning of the movie, I honestly, not trying to be funny, was really wondering if Tom Cruise's character was supposed to be nonverbal because she just kept talking to him and he kept looking at her like he was some kind of wild folk. And I'm like, is this a Tarzan situation? Is he just not talking? And then he started talking and I wish he went back to being nonverbal.
I mean, it is the starkest voice because everyone else is up here. Even Tim Curry's kind of like, I'm here. But he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? That armor looks pretty cool.
Dude, where are we?
Because he still has that Tom Cruise bafflement in his voice, significantly more thetans. But like, back then he's just, he sounds like he could be Patrick Swayze or Keanu Reeves. Because he's like, whoa. And you're just like, honey, you're looking at magic. He goes, yeah, but like, she's kind of hot. And...
Well, there's the one moment where I think it's right maybe when he gets the sword or the armor and he has like a moment where he really, really screams, kind of like a give me back my son level intensity scream about like, you know, I think it's when darkness like hits Lily or something. And then he goes immediately down a zip line. So, I mean, I think you see him get out of it. It was like, whoa, like, you know, open mouth breathing, a sort of shtick.
for that
in that, in that in that little moment there.
So. That's right, kids. Even you can reenact a legend, your favorite movie, with the legend playset. Look at Tom Cruise going down. Because, like, that's what it is. It's like your most 101, like, Batman goon coming at you prop. Which, again, it's just, it feels out of place because this movie is a fantasy that's filmed like it's a painting. And then this guy's like, I'm going to do Kung Fu on him. Yeah! And you're just like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so we should also... Help me out.
Can we talk about...
At one point, the fairy turns into the love interest, and he's... It's like a thirst trap.
Oh, that's when they're captured. That's when they're... Whoa. So what's happening right
it's
now?
It's a lot of flashing movies we have.
Yeah, no, it just... It was very intense.
Literally what you're talking about, when she turns back from the love interest into the fairy.
And she goes out the bars, and she lets
them
out.
So she, like, feigns, like, she isn't gonna rescue them, because she tries to... sexually assault Jack.
Yeah,
like force him into kissing her, and then she pretends to be his love interest. And for a second, he's like, "Lily."
He's because he is dumber than a piece of toast. Because it's not the scene from a better movie, X-Men 2, where it's Mystique trying to seduce Wolverine by looking like Jean Grey. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like he's looking at her.
Yeah, she changes,
and he's like, "What
is it, you?"
Because again, he ate paint chips for a good portion of
and
his life.
And then that little boy is like, "That's fairy magic."
Thanks, well, Frankie Muniz. Can you get us out of here, then?
Then he puts on like a patch. He's a nicotine patch. Like, yeah, days were on set too long. It's hard.
Has Lily started wandering around Darkness's love dungeon yet?
You know what? We can fucking skip ahead because he's going to go talk to its statue for another 20 minutes, which is going to look at him mildly green.
Yeah, so then she's kind of in the underworld. And
as one does.
And it's like set up all fancy for her. And this weird figure comes out and does a little
it's Pinocchio looking thing,
like a little like ballerina kind of dance, and she's really impressed and decides to become evil.
I love that this beautiful gown danced with her. It was this whole ballroom scene that I thought went on for way too long, and
not 10 minutes, because we had that as well. So this was something that was in both
minutes,
cats.
Yeah, and minutes and minutes.
Yeah, yes. I just kept sitting there, and I'm like, we got it. Yep, okay. This can anytime now they can just meld together. So then suddenly, you know, she's dancing with Doctor Strange's cloak, and then whoosh, she's Goth Lily.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oh, is she hot as Goth Lily? Like, oh,
a lot more cleavage and something cut down to her stomach.
Yes, the cleavage.
And I feel like it was reminding me of things, but I wasn't totally
was
sure.
Was it raking you sexually?
No, like her costume.
Oh, I mean, it does.
A phase in your high school time. Does
that's
that
right?
Yeah, actually.
I just felt at home. I was like, this is what I want to wear when I go out.
If you've seen Black Swan, it reminds me of that a lot. And I don't know if I would guess the director of Black Swan got inspired, because it the dance sequence is almost ballet, like the way they're spinning around each other, not like touching, but kind of like moving in tandem, inches apart.
Was it a waltz?
It's a lot of twirling and whirling.
And I will say, from the minute she gets to the underworld, through that whole sequence is like the greatest prog rock music video you have ever seen. Like the Pinocchio thing, as Matt put it, but like it looks like sparkles, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like you're looking at a high school version of the night sky, like in a play, where they're wearing sequins and it's glittery, but it also has like the highest neck and the cape, and they're dancing together.
It's so dramatic.
Erotic, you mean.
Yes.
And then they lock eyes and she's goffed out. It's cool. Like, again, if this was an Italian movie and it was Italian with bad subtitles, you'd be like, this is brilliant. I don't know what's happening.
I don't understand it. It's because I'm not smart enough.
I am empathetic and aroused, which makes it an Italian film. And there we have it.
It does feel very operatic. So, it's definitely like a vibe that I got from all of that. And then, of course, she's admiring herself in the mirror of Ezra. And suddenly the most beautiful hands come out of the mirror. That
yeah, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on.
I know I am biased, but when I saw those hands come out, I was like, "Yep, I just jump right on in there. You don't dive on in through the mirror. I'm there."
Well, so we should mention here too. Women, once again, we have to remind you constantly, are evil.
why are you gesturing wildly at me? I have been bringing up the point that this movie is making it seem like women just like suck and like are the worst and make all the bad decisions.
And Darkness here is a super feminist. Yeah. He's like, hey, Lily, listen here, yes, queen. You can do what you want. I will get you all these diamonds. You can live with me forever.
But like, see,
don't you mean you can live with me forever?
In my head, he's wearing giant gold hoops and still has like big lashes.
Like,
wearing
like,
a tank top?
He's drag in my head. It's Dr. Frankenfurter as the Darkness.
Or like, who's the Butts? The red Butts guy. Who's the red Butts guy?
On
Cow and Chicken?
Oh my god.
Oh, Satan? Is it Mr. Satan?
Okay. What I was gonna bring up, which now feels is they do kind of like a Friday the 13th kind of thing. Like, she has to be like sinful to not like to go here. So like, first she presumably tries to have very disappointing sex with Jack. Then she runs around and of course causes the apocalypse. But then they're like, guess what? She's also kind of greedy because like before that happens, there's like all the gold in the world and she's like, pearls. And then the sexy dance sequence happens.
Oh, so it's kind of like an Adam and Eve story.
Adam and Eve. I wrote that down.
But it's not a fall. It's like a stumbling, rolling down a hill thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and hitting every rock on the way down.
No, I mean, and like, they've shown that throughout the movie. Like, they make her character out to be, like, the way she's flippant about, like, Jack clearly just, like, purely loves her in, like, the most innocent, sweet way. And she's like, well, if you want to marry me, you gotta
catch this ring.
after what she did anyway. So,
well, then she steals the dinner from who she calls the pores and eats all of their food, and then they freeze, and she's like,
where am I gonna get my cookies now?
That's right.
What a bitch.
Right. I mean, like, and then she dances with power. Like, literally, we have, she is lustful for gold, and then she dances with power, and she's like, I am in. And then we cut to credits, and that's how the movie ends, unfortunately.
It is into sin.
and then, like you said, out of a Aha music video come these hands.
Very inviting hands.
Just like about choke her just a little bit. She's into that kind of
thing. By inviting, we mean veiny and red and swollen.
With these long, beautiful talons. Oh, and then the cloven hooves. I'm sorry. I guess everyone can just tell that that's my thing.
But I mean, like, it's also like whoever made these prosthetics to like do this look incredible.
Speaking of that, it is the same person that did the prosthetics for The Thing.
Oh, no kidding.
He had just finished wrapping up The Thing and then was able to come on board this project.
With Rotten Rib. That's
yes. Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This actually, at the time, and I don't know, this could have been changed by now, but it was the largest special effects like makeup team for any movie ever.
Holy shit, that's funny. Star Wars, each actor
looks very good.
The only actors that did not have prosthetics were Tom Cruise and Mia Sara. Everybody else, it took about 3 hours to get into makeup. And then for Tim Curry, it was 5.5 hours.
And I would say it's only a shame because that means we don't see him on scene very much. I wish there was more of him. Like, truly, because he's a...
I do too.
He's great, and we've talked about it before. There is something about charisma which is just magical. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't learn charisma. And Tim Curry, under 7 pounds of makeup, suddenly becomes the most charismatic person in the scene. And all he has to go is, Leo. And you're just like, And it's incredible because he can barely move in the damn thing. It must have weighed 20 pounds on his neck. And you can tell because he turns like he's Batman in 1989. Like, because he can't move his neck, he can barely move his face, and that huge jawline, it's only his lips that move, but that's all he'll need. But like, that's kind of, and we see that same effect, at least in our version, of the foot, the hoof, cloven hoof coming down like four times. And it's just the exact same, like, nope. But it
only got one.
Well, someone bought a jackalope and they used it for their production. But, like, she's here with that incredible costume and the low V-neck cut and breathing heavily, like, oh no, it's you. And he's like, oh yes, it's me. And I'm just like, if the movie started here, and then I guess you're wondering what happened today. Well, I would be in, because this is so cool.
Like, she also, like, at that point, after she's been, like, holding gems and dancing and admiring jewels and admiring herself in this dress, then he shows up and she's like, what did you think? Like,
I think she was just hoping Jack was going to come out and be like, oh, gotcha again.
Meanwhile, our hero is in the kitchen saving people from pies.
Oh, yeah. So this is also where they are. He hasn't been spying on them yet at this point.
Not really. He's not the Eye of Sauron.
Why are they in the kitchen?
Because they want to get the plates,
but they don't know. They don't know they're doing the thing yet.
They over. I think Jack at one point overhears one of Darkness's speeches. You know, sunlight is my destroyer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. So he was like spying, and there's like light reflecting, and he's like,
okay,
I know what we're gonna do.
This is where the Lost Boys and Peter Pan collect all the shiny things.
So they go to the kitchen to get plates, and while they're in there, they hear like bing, 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 hey, and they like look around, and there's a guy in a pie.
The guy who we saw in the armor prison.
Yeah,
he's, you know, if you guys have been watching Disenchantment, he's Levo. He's just like, I wandered off, and I'm going to find adventure. Oh no, prison! Like, he's like the worst adventurer. Anyway, and he's been baked into a pie.
So they get him out of there.
You know, they free him because, I guess. Why not? And at this point, we have the very cartoony sequence that you're talking about, where like they're stealing shiny things to set up a light array to blast Satan with light. Right?
And they get into a fight with Big Fat Chef Monster.
Yeah, those people were creepy with the pig mask, and we're not even talking about Barf. This is some random like executioner guy with the pig mask.
Pig mask, what is a saw?
Yeah. Or I also got kind of a... what was the movie where the tourists keep getting kidnapped to get murdered?
Hostel.
Hostel. I was getting a Hostel vibe.
Yeah, this is, yeah, torture porn.
Yeah.
For children.
Yeah, it's a cautionary tale.
This is one of those ones that Common Sense Media or whatever said, like, we're 10 and up, and I'm like, yeah, because they get bored and walked away.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, anything, like, inherently offensive about this. I mean, we've made it as dirty as it actually is, but, like, I mean, we're not even to, like, Triangle Head fighting children here. But this movie is so baffling. At this point, while they're building up their array, there's literally a dude in the kitchen wearing, like, the Triangle Head thing. Like, and, you know, bondage kit. And he's swinging an axe, you know, your classic kitchen utensil, an axe, at Tom Cruise, who's doing a very poor job at fighting it off, other than his flippy-doos. He's got so many flippy-doos to spare.
I feel like it's like watching, if you gave your kid the controller to play some kind of fighting game, they just keep hitting B over and over and over again. You're like, yeah, you got it, totes.
That's also how I play fighting games. Yeah.
But. I'm doing a Smash Brothers. Whee!
Yeah. It's a combo.
But I mean, like, we can't go through all this. We've been talking over an hour already.
Meanwhile, Lily gets real enthusiastic for evil, like, give your bride a gift. I want to kill the unicorn. And so, Darkness is probably, meanwhile, cut to his pants. You can see him.
Oh, tightening. My God. The sound that came out of Darkness, that emitted out of him when she said, please let me, I want to be the one to kill the unicorn. He was just like, oh, yeah, girl. Like, let's do it.
I'm going to need another suit.
Yeah.
That was, you know, he was thinking of something other than his horns.
This is also important for the plot. Horn. This was when Jack was looking at them and trying to, I guess, decide who to shoot or what. I don't really know. He was
I appreciated that Frankie Muniz was like, I just kill her, it's okay. And he's like, I don't know, I believe in her. And Frankie Muniz is like, nah, kill her.
Yeah. Well, because he thinks that she's really you know, gung-ho for evil, but Jack suspects and wants to believe that she is just playing to
appease him, I guess, to survive.
Ultimately, yeah. Well, he doesn't, I guess he doesn't know that she's going to trick him, because she does, spoiler, she frees the unicorn and she says, run! And the unicorn's like, I'm in a dungeon! There's nowhere to run!
Dude, and it's again, for us at least, in slow motion, the horse is like, oh God, where am I?
That poor, I'm just thinking about that poor horse on set was probably just terrified all the time.
I mean,
that's what I was saying earlier. I like to look up, like, when there are animals in the movies, I like to, like, find out how the animals were treated, if there were issues. Uh-huh. I couldn't find anything about this.
Previous episode of Graveyard Shift, I remember you talking a lot about the rats.
They actually, in that movie, they really did take very good care of their rats.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as we mentioned before, this is still the 80s. There's no CGI in any of this stuff. So there's, I have a feeling there was a couple of days where there was like horse con carne on the menu for breakfast.
Gotta get another horse.
That white horse was so terrified it took curry and jumped off of something. Well, chilly day. I mean, like, I just, anyway.
And so darkness gets a little rough with her, and that's when Jack busts in.
Yeah, with all the goblins with prosthetic penises for noses.
I don't think that was in mine.
Oh, no, dude, some of these.
The penis noses?
I think I got some penis noses. Yeah. I remember some penis. I'm struggling with the sequence of events when it got to this point in the movie. I mean, I watched it intently. I took notes.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, when, what happened, when, and what before? But the penis noses, yeah.
Oh, could you?
Yeah, our version had those.
You had it written down.
And, darkness, like, okay, breaks out a broadsword and calls Jack boy.
I'm impressed with your voice of darkness. Yeah, I mean, there's like a 4.5 minute fight scene here where Lily's, again, breathing heavily and just watching it. Desperately not trying to move too much, lest that dress fail her in some important way.
Or, God forbid, help at all.
It was actually like a mesh. So I thought she was
unconscious. Did he try to backhanded her?
After she frees, the unicorn.
I'm victim blaming, sorry.
Oh no, you're gonna get canceled.
I also think that this also speaks to, okay, the fact that she was feigning interest in darkness and saying, like, oh yeah, well, you have to let me kill the unicorn and all that. Is that not what we do to survive creepy guys? We're like, I'm just going to smile and nod and hope that this just ends soon, please.
Yeah.
It's very pleasant around me, so that worked out.
Me too.
You pay me, so it's okay.
There you go. But yeah, okay, so the end of this movie, well, for us, there's like 20 more minutes left, But at this point,
they turn the lights on.
Yeah.
There is fighting, and then they use the mirror array.
Well, he gets stabbed. Jack stabs Darkness with the alicorn, and then he gets hit with the beam of light, and then he's all like, "Dad, save me! What?" And
down and he's chucked off into space and talking about, like, I can never be destroyed because there's darkness in every human heart. I'm trying to get the Tim Curry thing. It's not working. And I think Jack cuts off his hands.
Yes, he does. But I mean, it is an interesting point of saying, like, listen, you can kill my physical body, but it's in everybody. There's a little bit of evil in everyone. And that's a story and a thing we think we should teach all children.
Yeah, we should take that home.
Yeah. Just remember, kids, there's a little evil in you, too.
And, you know, support the efforts to protect animals on sets, not turn them into chili.
We should talk about the different endings, though, because I think that the two different endings that we have are very interesting.
Yeah. So I will say then, Alex, Matt, Diego, why don't you tell us how your version ends?
The theatrical cut. Jack retrieves her ring and revives her, and they run off into the sun, and then suddenly Darkness is laughing.
Yes, at the end, the Darkness gets a little second of just laughing right before it ends, and it's like, what, is that like a sequel tease? Or like, what's going on here? That's really what it seemed like, right? I mean,
legend, the continuing story.
It's legend. Lily did something bad again.
Look what women do.
Yeah.
Look what you made me do.
Legend 2 : women.
Ladies be ruining stuff.
So Lily should be in the kitchen. Establishing shot. Okay. Yeah, so And then the movie just ends.
That's how they just run off. Abruptly. Yeah.
They go to the sun.
They get together. They go off into the light together, and we get darkness. We get Tim Curry laughing one more time.
Tim Curry with the sequel setup. Legend 2.
Yeah, he's a masochist. And he wants to put on an outfit again.
Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just our version had a little bit more to it.
So in our version, they come back to the field where they were at, and Jack retrieves the ring and is able to revive Lily and tries to convince Lily that it was all a dream and that didn't really happen, and she's like, okay, like you can tell she doesn't believe him, but she's like, sure, whatever, fine, I'll go along with that. And they profess their love to each other, but then in a matter of a second, they were like, you know what? But we're too different. So we should just go our separate ways and like do our own thing. I'll come back and see you later.
Well, and then he himself runs off into the sun.
He runs off toward the unicorn and all the fairy people, and then she just goes back home.
And by the way, I don't know how your son looked, but I feel like ours came later because it's like the Truman Show, and he's going to run into the wall.
Yeah,
because he's like running, and there's this like.
I thought he was going to jump off the edge of the cliff or something. I thought he was going cliff diving. Like that's what it looked like.
It really looks like before the camera cuts. Right as he was about to run into the background.
Yes.
Because it's like...
And there's just force ghosts them in the background of the unicorn and the fae people.
Because it's like this bucolic scene and like the sun is setting and there's pink hues and there's animals jumping and he's running and he's like slowing down. Unless you slam into the matte painting. Like, and then it just shows up on the title screen. Starring Tom Cruise, Jim Curry, and Mia Sara. I'm just like, all right, I guess he didn't. And then they cut to the unicorns, like you've just been in Legend of Zelda, and it's reestablishing all the realms.
So I watched through the credits, and I was like, okay, maybe there's going to be, like, something else that makes sense in here. Nope, nothing makes sense in this movie.
Oh, God, and it just, and then, and again.
Now, I wish it ended with, I wish I'd gotten to hear Darkness laugh one more time before it faded to black. Like, that would have been nice.
Then there's a guitar hit, and then he's like,
it just freezes right.
Is Tom Cruise to put on a pair of sunglasses and be like,
He starts playing volleyball. It's weird. Val Kilmer's there. I don't know.
He just kind of looks up.
He plays volleyball with Satan.
That I would pay to watch. I would pay to watch Tom Cruise play volleyball with Satan.
Or it's like the Hot Shots Part 2 ending where it's the guy with the antlers on giving a thumbs up. And it's this like Dump or whatever his name is going.
Well, you just want Yoda there for a second.
Oh, God help me.
I would also appreciate a photo montage that flashes up of he and Lily's life, like where they have a baby and like maybe the baby looks like an elf or like a goblin.
The baby comes out with horns. He's like, Lily.
It's red. Yeah. It's red.
Is this where Hellboy comes from?
Oh my God!
It all ties in.
And Tom Cruise is just like, but his teeth are perfectly aligned. So I don't know.
They're not perfectly aligned because he has that one tooth right in the middle, and it's so prominent.
And that's how he knows the baby isn't his.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, and so, well, see, I picture like every couple of years, you know, there's like. Different family things, like they're at a baseball game, whatever. And then, like, there are just more kids in every picture, and every single one of them's like red with horns. And he's just, like, I love my kids. And they're like, you go, you cuckold. You're having a good time with them.
One of them's like, and then it gets to where they get like a little camcorder and there's like little snippets and one of the babies is flying around with demon wings in the background.
I also want there to be like a blooper reel.
I was going to say, this movie needs a blooper reel where Tom Cruise tries to do the flip and just
nails it right in the face.
This movie is just such a mess.
He's not doing stunts at this point, right? I mean, that's not his thing. It's just totally before, I'm sure.
This is risky business, Sarah.
What stunts are you referring to? Like,
well, flips? Nowadays, they'll do stupid shit.
Dangerous. That's like being on an airplane. I mean,
that's what happened to Owen Wilson's nose. Like, he tried to do his own stunts. Screwed it up.
On a zipline?
I heard Owen Wilson started as a stuntman and then decided to make the move into acting.
Yeah.
But yeah, he broke his nose so many times that's why his nose looks like that.
Oh.
That's why it looks distinct. That's $1 million nose.
I just thought that was his nose.
Yeah, no, he broke it being a stuntman. Still not the coolest backstory to an actor. Matthew McConaughey's dad was a hitman for the mafia.
Really?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No, I think people are trying to prove that they said that wasn't actually his dad, and now people are people are convinced that he shares the same dad with
Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yes.
They all kind of knew each other.
Yeah, because his mom talked about, I guess his mom like alluded to possibly like banging on
I'm confused.
Okay, so Woody Harrelson's dad, Charles Harrelson, is a mafia hitman who's actually in jail. Well, was in jail. He's passed away, but was in jail for years because he assassinated a judge. And so Woody Harrelson, everyone's favorite stoner actor, was the son of an assassin, and he's best buddies with
Matthew McConaughey.
Professor McConaughey.
Maybe his half-brother, essentially.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's mom kind of alluded to how she might have.
I mean, I guess they could figure that out if they really wanted to.
I feel like every time they've been presented with, "Do you guys want us to do this?" they're both like, "No, we just like perpetuating this story." Too Little in theaters.
I did too.
And it was one of the first movies I went to by myself. I think it's the first movie I went to solo.
The Bill Murray.
Because my dad was like, "I'm not watching this. Here's money. Go."
Those were the dark days of Bill Murray. That was before he was in Rushmore, I think was the first one. But like those Wes Anderson movies where he's like a person. That was a bad movie. I saw that.
I remember, was he in like a bank heist one?
He was.
Like where he like stakes out in the bank.
He was, and I can't remember the name of the thing. But like those movies in the 90s, the last one, like he did Groundhog Day, and then after Groundhog Day, it was just a dry period for a while until
Groundhog Day was after Ghostbusters.
Yes, it's like 89, 91, and like he did Ghostbusters too because that was just free money.
Yeah,
but like other than that, he was just in a bunch of crap. Anyway, let's wrap this thing up. Let's do final judgments. Gabe, what was your final thoughts?
It's beautiful to watch. It's weird to experience. I think I said the same thing about Joss. I would be curious because I think I feel the same way where I enjoyed it, but I didn't like it. Does that make sense?
No.
That,
did you say for Jaws?
Like the shark Jaws movie? Yeah. Yeah, Jaws. Well, Jaws was for different reasons. Jaws is very anxiety inducing. It is very just like, it just makes you feel like this feeling the whole time. And I didn't like that. So like I enjoyed, you know, watching the movie, like to see it, to, you know, learn about it, but I didn't like experiencing it.
I see.
And so in this case, I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed, you know, revisiting this movie, but I didn't necessarily like it. So.
Well, I mean, as thin and as kind of throwaway as the entire story and plot and flow of the movie and dialogue was, there could have been even less because it was just, for me, it was just visual. I mean, they just wanted to have beautiful visual sequences, and it's just a total drug movie to me. That's just why it exists. It was, Ridley Scott was, you know, trying to translate some experiences he had to film. So as like just an LSD acid trip of a movie, I think it was pretty fun that way. But I mean, the story was just frustratingly thin and unnecessary.
Matt?
It's beautiful. It's boring. Just go watch Willow or Labyrinth.
Fair. Madison?
I endorse that. I agree. I'm with you.
The only two saving graces of this movie. One, when we first see the unicorns, I swear on all that is holy, I had both of my hands on my face and my mouth open, just looking in awe. Just, oh, look at these beautiful unicorns. Because this was my first time ever watching this. The other saving thing was, of course, my love, Darkness, who was everything I wanted in a monster
and a man.
And I just want to say that if I could just have a supercut of just the unicorns and any scene with the darkness in it, I would just watch that, and everything else can just be thrown in the garbage. This was a crazy ass movie. Ridley Scott is a wonderful director. I don't know what happened here. I believe you're correct in that this was some kind of translation of a bad trip that he wanted to share with the world. It just does not work. I don't recommend watching this. There's so many better fantasy movies out there than this. I give it a eh.
By the way, I didn't mention this. This was 2 years or 3 years after Blade Runner, and 6 years after Alien. And the thing he directed right before this, you can look, 2 years before, this movie took forever, was the Apple 1984 commercial where that woman runs up through the gray and throws the hammer through Big Brother's face. That was really
Scott. The Think Different commercial, yeah.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, I think it was.
And it was only shown once. It's one of those bizarre moments in art. But anyway, so that's where Ridley Scott was in his career. He was working for Apple. I don't even know how to put this movie. I agree with everything you said. It's beautiful. It's long. It's slow. And you need a supercut to get through it. But then they'll make a decision that's so out of this world that you kind of are the fact that she's like, oh, I'm just a princess. And it's every Disney movie, right? She's just completely has no idea what's going on. She's Belle running through town poor people, hooray. And then her best friend, her paramour, is Link from Legend of Zelda, just hanging out in the woods, just wearing a loincloth. And then 20 minutes goes by, and there's dead unicorns, and there's goblins. It just gets weirder and weirder. And then the leader of the resistance is a boy in a leotard, and he talks like a smoker. And then it turns out Satan's involved. I agree with you. It's boring and it's weird and it drags. And then yet it's the weirdest fucking thing we've ever talked about. And I can't wrap my mind around how those both are true. So do with that what you will, audience. You might want to see it. You might not. If you like fantasy movies from this era, which we mentioned there a lot, you've probably already seen this. So you almost need to watch it with someone who hasn't just to see the reaction when Satan himself shows up. Because
That's the way to do it. If I ever watch this again, it'll be with somebody who has not seen it, and I'm just going to watch them as soon as the hands come out of the mirror.
You're watching? You just watch it? You're what's going on? Did you write his teeth don't line up? What? So as I mentioned before, we are now entering a romance month for some romance. Next week, we're doing Flashdance, but as has become tradition, we will mention the entire month, so I'll do it because it's the theme month. Why not? So we're doing Legend. Next week is Flashdance. Next week is Teen Witch. The week after that is Pretty Woman. And then we're going to end it with my choice, which is a Ghost with Patrick Swayze. And I believe it got Whoopi Goldberg her Academy Award as the medium. So stay tuned. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us on the charts and globally. Thanks for sharing, reviewing, and doing all those things you do. We appreciate you very much. Bye, everyone. Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, creativecommons.com/licenses/4.0. Thanks.